Tonight we're going to be in 1 Corinthians, starting at the first three verses. So it's going to be a quick study tonight. Let me ask a question before we get started. Anyone here who's been saved about a year now? Or have you been saved longer than a year? Long. Okay, everybody's longer. So this study is just going to be a refresher for you guys. But normally, about a year or so, we're going to be studying sanctification. Okay? Like I said, it's going to be just a refresher for all you guys. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks tonight, Father, for what we're about to receive, Father. We thank you, Father, for making us your own possession by sanctifying us in Christ Jesus. For it is by your strength and your will that this thing has taken place in our lives, Father. We thank you for it. We thank you for using us and making us part of the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's look at 1 Corinthians, first three verse in chapter 1. Paul, called as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Sothians, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all who in every place call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So, like I said, we're going to look at sanctification tonight. What is sanctification? Webster's defines sanctified as to make holy, to free from sin, to purify, to make a binding and invocable sanction, to make productive and spiritual blessings. So that's how Webster's defines that. And as we read the scriptures and go through this tonight, you're going to see the same thing, what's taking place in our lives. Turn over to Titus 3, 4 through 7. Titus is right before Philemon, Philemon. But if you're French, it's Philemon. Titus 3, 4 through 7. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but in according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That has taken place in our lives, as you well know. Now tonight, and knowing this, we're going to look at three aspects of sanctification in the Word. And the first one is positional sanctification. So when does that happen in our lives? When does positional sanctification happen in our lives? When you're first saved. It happens to every man and woman at the moment of their conversion. This takes place, what we just read here in Titus. The Holy Spirit starts a regeneration process in our lives. And he is drawing us into the body of Christ, making us part of the body of Christ. Okay, and that's what's going on. And that's the beginning of it, is positional sanctification. This is our perfect standing in holiness. Okay? So who did this, as we've read in Titus? Who did it? God our Father. Yeah. Go to 1 Corinthians 1:30. We were just there. So 1 Corinthians 1:30 says this, but by His doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So that, just as it is written, let him who boast in the Lord. So it was nothing that we did. It was all what God did, and by His power and by His love for us. So that's who did this for us, and we can be thankful and grateful for the rest of our lives. And we can thank our Heavenly Father for making us holy. That's It's such a wonderful and beautiful thing, as you guys well know. Also, turn over to Acts 20:32. Now here Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus, to the leaders of Ephesus, and as he's on his way to Jerusalem. And we read this, "And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." So this positional sanctification is taking place in our life right now, but it excels. It gets better as we go along. Okay? So when we read this in Acts, and Paul is saying, "I'm turning you over to God, to the Word." It's His Word of His grace, which is able to build us up in Christ Jesus. Nothing else. Nothing in this world. Nothing in the heavens. Nothing else can build us up but God and God alone. And it's through His Word. And that's where we first start out. And we're sanctified and set apart for God's use. And these things are taking place. Sometimes they can be a little confusing. Yeah, confusing. But we always got to hang on to that part. What I'm trying to get at here is that we can't do it on our own. Okay? It has to be done by God in His way. Even though we may strive to be better, we may strive to do this. We may try and turn over a new leaf, that type of striving, trying to be perfect. Well, let me tell you, brothers, sisters, stop. Stop trying to be perfect. Let God do His job by His Holy Spirit. Amen. Because once we put that part of our lives behind us, striving, and we get it behind us, and we're out in front, and our Heavenly Father's out in the front with us, then, and we're being led by Him, then the failures will never be part of our life again. And that's the way we were. And that's positional sanctification is taking place. Turn back to Titus one more time. Titus 2:11-14. We're in Titus 2:11-14 right now. We've been talking about sanctification, what God is doing in our lives right now. Especially those of us that are fairly new in Christ. So by Him doing this, we begin to learn how to live according to God's grace. Okay, it's not according to what we do, and it's not according to how we strive for it or anything like that. It's according to God's grace, and this is what we read here in Titus 2:11-14. "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave Himself to us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for good deeds." So what's that explaining? What's that telling us? What's it telling us? When we're first born again, we have no idea how to walk by the Spirit, no idea how to walk righteously. But by God's grace and by His love for us, and if we're zealous for this type of training, then we can never fail. Never have any failure in our life. That's why I said stop, you know, we need to stop striving for perfection. Stop striving to be good. We're not. We have to accept that. We're going to make mistakes. But it's by God's love, His grace, that all these things are taking place in our lives. As long as we remain zealous for Him and in love with Him. Okay, if we fall away, what's going to happen? He's going to come after us. He's not going to let us go, that's for sure. So even though sometimes we may think that God has let go of us, and He's sanctified us. He's not going to let us go anywhere. So it makes no difference what we think of ourselves. or what we do, and how pitiful we think of ourselves every once in a while, and how poor we think of ourselves, God still loves us, and He's not going to let us remain there very long. So He comes after us, and He takes care of us, and He wants, as long as we have that zeal, keep that zeal alive in you, that you want to learn more and more and more how to please your Heavenly Father. And as long as you have that zeal within you, you won't be drifting so much, being caught up in the ways of the world, or what's going over here, or this church is doing this, or this church is doing that. That won't even come to be a factor in your life anymore. It won't even count. It's about you and our personal relationship with our Heavenly Father, with our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what He is doing in our life right now. He is making us what? Joint heirs with Him. Later on, we're going to see a scripture that how Jesus learned this very same thing. So we see this in a minute. So that's the beginning. It's positional sanctification. And it starts when we first receive our conversion, when we first accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. It begins at that time. The next one is progressive sanctification. This aspect is our daily growth in grace, becoming by patience, becoming by practice, and more set apart for God's use. Do you remember the prayer in John 17? Turn over there. John 17, 17 through 21. Well, no, 17, 17 through 21. We're going to read the whole this part of it, okay? In fact, will you read that, Jim? What? Yeah, 21? Amen. Yeah, did you see your name is written in there? In fact, I wrote my name right there in at the bottom of verse 20. Because Jesus, when He prayed this to the Father, He says, sanctify them as you and I are sanctified, as He is sanctified. He said, I sanctified myself. And that sanctification was to be that possession of God the Father. Okay? We too. We can do that. Okay? That's why I was telling you, we need to stop striving. Stop trying to be good. Just let the Holy Spirit do His work. And that'll all fall into place. It'll all fall into place. Okay? So I put my name right there under verse 20, because that's what it says. It says, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, speaking of His disciples, but for those also who believe in Me through their word. And that's where I put my name. And you can write your name in there too, because this has happened to each and every one. This, like I said, this is he's talking about progressive sanctification. Jesus knew that the words that would come to the disciples after He left the earth would cause thousands and thousands and thousands of people to come to the Lord by their word. And we were part of that. We were part of that. So this is this aspect is our daily growth in grace. Okay? And it comes by practice. This is, like I said, this was Jesus praying and interceding for us. Now here's a scenario for you. Let's say you're reading the word. Okay? And all of a sudden, you come across something in the Bible that just does not make very much sense. Okay? For instance, let's go to Romans 6, 11 through 14. It's written, even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its lust. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Okay, so what's he telling us here? Let me ask you this. Is this a member of your body, the tongue? Oh boy, yeah. How many of you have ever heard the Holy Spirit say, well, I'm going to use me as an example. He would say, Gary, that's very unbecoming. You had an opportunity to build that person up, whether it was male or female, and you didn't. Yeah, So what happens is that we repent from that, and we ask the Lord, give me another chance. At least I do. I always ask for another chance. And He does. He gives us another opportunity to, like I said, it's from practice that we learn these things. So when you hear the Holy Spirit say that you've done something wrong, please repent and then ask the Lord to give you another chance to learn this, okay? It's very important. So this is progressive sanctification. It happens from practice of the Word. And nothing under our power or our control. It's all done by the Holy Spirit in our lives, okay? Hebrews 5:14, like I said, it comes from practice. You remember this one, Manny. Hebrews 5:14. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. So that's telling us that when we practice the Word, that we get, you know, we become that new creature that God's creating, and the Holy Spirit's regenerating us and causing this effect to come in our lives, to be part of the body of Christ and not separate from it, to be, as we read in Titus, to be of one mind with each other, one direction, and not here and here and here and here, but everybody together. All right, are you catching this? Are you catching what he's teaching us here in this sanctification? Here's a for instance. Romans 14:1. You'll remember this as soon as we read it. Romans 14:1. It's written, now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. So he's speaking, he's telling us that the newborns that are coming in into our presence, don't pass judgment on, because they do have opinions about the Word. They're not into it yet, okay? And they're not learning yet, but they do have opinions. So don't pass any judgment on their opinions. But we who are stronger, we come alongside them and we build them up. And we show them the correct way, what God says in His Word, all right? So this is very, very important in our growth. It not only puts a smile on our Heavenly Father's face, but it brings a certain kind of peace in the body of Christ. And that peace is that new person wondering, who are these guys? Why are they much better than I, you know? And they're wanting, they have that desire to learn, and here we have an opportunity to teach and to show them the correct way, and not them relying on themselves, because opinions is self-reliance when we have opinions about things. When you have an opinion about how to rebuild a brake on a truck or a car, if you don't do it the correct way, what's going to happen? You're going to have bad brakes, right? You're going to have skin up knuckles and you'll be cussing tools and everything else. So that's one. So we have a right, you know, an opportunity to show them the correct way, and to allow the Holy Spirit to just be part of their life, and to set them aside. It's nothing that we do on our own. Even though we do sanctify ourselves, because I can tell myself, Lord, I want to be part of this. Not this anymore. I want to be part of this. This is sanctification, when we self-sanctify ourselves. Okay? And if it's not from the heart, if it's not true, then we'll struggle. We'll struggle a lot in our walk in this sanctification as it takes place in our lives. And like I told you, look at Hebrews 5:8. Jesus learned this very same thing, and it's learned through obedience. Look at Hebrews 5:8. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. Then we do too. We do too. That's how we learn. Okay? That's why we have the Holy Spirit to to guide us, to lead us, to show us that, and we're sons also, sons and daughters. And this is taking place. We learn these things through obedience. Okay, number three is ultimate sanctification. Anybody want to take a guess at this one? You got it, Mikey. Well, we're not here on this earth anymore. The ultimate sanctification comes when we're with our Heavenly Father in heaven. All right, when it's all final, said, and done. All right, 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24. Huh? 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and your soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. So you can count on that. Go to the bank with it. Are there any questions about any of this that we've looked at? I told you this is going to be quick tonight because you guys are familiar with this. Go ahead. No. No, allow the Holy Spirit to show you. Don't do it by your own power and your own mind and your own will. Give it all over to the Lord. Yeah. See, because we all do that. We're human. We all do that. We want to do things our way, and we want to be good our way. We don't want to be good God's way. So, but if we don't give ourselves over to the leading of the Holy Spirit and what he is doing in our lives, then it becomes our walk with the Lord becomes frustrating. We stumble, we fall, we make mistakes here, and it just seems to escalate and escalate and escalate, and you're wondering why. And we start beating ourselves up. And we shouldn't be doing that. It's called trials, yeah. And we put ourselves in trials. We put ourselves there. You got it. That's why it's said in Hebrews, by practice. It's by practice. Practicing, put the word of God, truth. Let it just come out. I mean, we don't want to hold it back at any time. And that's not hard to do. It really isn't. Once we can put ourselves to one side and allow God to lead us and guide us, it becomes much, much more easier, and our life becomes peaceable. And it's that peace that surpasses all understanding. We go, God, Lord, I could have been part of that. As you see a tragedy in a brother or sister's life, like that could have happened to me. I remember saying that about a brother who was going through a very, very hard time in his life. And it's what I said, Lord, that could have been me, but you kept me from it. Why? And he said, because you're practicing my word. You're putting me first in your life. You're not doing it by your own strength. And when we do that, when we do that, the Lord will protect us from those things. And the Holy Spirit allow us. Now, trials are for a reason. We know that. The trials strengthen us as we grow. Okay? Trials are still going to happen. But we learn by what we've read here, we learn that we can't get out of that trial on our own. We have to let the Lord show us the way. We have to let him make us stronger. And we want to get past that weak part, as we talked about. We don't want, it's not that we don't have knowledge. We do have knowledge and have the correct knowledge. Because that's what it says by faith in Romans 10:8. It's by faith that we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It says, but what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth, in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we are preaching. So the word's in you. We just got to allow it to come out. Allow it to lead us. Allow God to lead us so we can learn by it. One of the most neatest thing, one of the greatest love that we can have is for one another. Not only for our Heavenly Father, but we love one another the same way. Okay, we don't want to ever see any harm to come to anybody. We don't want to, with our own tongue, bring a brother or sister low, bring them down, say something wrong about them or anything like that. And before we were saved, some of us were like that. We always made ourselves better than the next person. We always thought of ourselves better than the next person. But it's not like that anymore in the body of Christ. Not when it's love. When we have that type of love, the same love that God has, and we don't want to see any harm come to one another, then it's neat to see a church that is completely in love with one another. And that's what the scriptures tell us, that we should love one another. And that love is the same as God loves us. Are we willing to give our lives up for one another? That's what I had to ask myself. And I remember going to the Lord and in prayer and asking the Lord, I do not know how to love like you do. Teach me. And if we do that, He'll start teaching you, start showing us how to correctly love one another. And not only the body of Christ, but also the entire world, as God did, and was willing to give His Son for us, for the entire world. So that's very important. Anything else? Anything else that you have a question about this? So all I can encourage you guys with is to stop striving. Stop trying to be good. Allow the Holy Spirit to do His work in our lives. And it's so much sweeter, so much easier. So that's the three aspects of sanctification. There's not much more that can be said about it. It's all here in the Word of God. So the only thing that I can say is these guys, these apostles that wrote these letters and these epistles, look at their lives. Look at what they went through. And through it all, they maintain that aspect of sanctification, being sanctified to God. They never drifted away from it. They kept the focus. Kept going forward, stayed in love with everyone they came in contact with. So just look at their lives when you're reading the epistles and when you're reading the gospel, these letters that are in here. Okay, pay attention to them; they're pretty interesting. They really are. So let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, once again, thank you, Father, for sanctifying us, for making us part of your household, Lord. For making us brothers and sisters with Jesus. Father, what can be said about your word? Is that it is true? And it is the greatest treasure on this earth and in heaven? So we thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for the leading of your Holy Spirit. Father, always, and I pray always, Father, keep us in your loving kindness. We know that trials will come, Father. And that they can carry us off some pretty deep and draw us away from you. But may our focus always be on on heaven, Lord, and the return of our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.